Kyle and Jenna often worked together on trying to put together some song services for us. In the past, we'd worked on the fifth Sunday of each month, we would do songs and scripture readings, and we'd relate them to a single subject. And they were working on that this past week, and I knew Kyle was heading out of town, so I wanted to volunteer some of my time today. And having been visiting my kids in California this past 2 weeks, actually, I don't really like California a lot because there's a lot of pollen out there. And the rumors about California drivers is actually true, so I've confirmed both of those things. But the land is beautiful, but the land is also full of tree pollen, so I'm trying to be very positive and optimistic about the trip. I did get to see my kids, and that was enjoyable, but there's a lot that has come from that. However, when I got back to work on Monday this past week, four of our designers out of our 11 people were out for the exact same reason, so it's not California's fault, so I'll just say that. Tell me the story of Jesus is the lesson that Kyle and Jenna had worked together on trying to prepare for me, and I've tried to take it in a little bit different, continue with what they had, but adding some things to it. And so Nick's going to be involved a little bit, jostling back and forth between the lesson that I worked on in PowerPoint and for our songs too. So I just encourage you to follow along as best you can. Tolerate me drinking things from the water bottle as much as I can. So I think most of us know the story of Jesus. These are the songs that we're going to be looking at today. We're going to be talking about Jesus' birth. We're going to be singing the song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. We're talking about Jesus' life. And one of my daughter's favorite songs, we're going to be using the song, Beautiful Star of Bethlehem. Actually, also correlated with his birth, but I tried to stretch these in some different situations. We're going to be talking about Jesus' miracles. And to me, one of my favorite stories and my favorite songs is Master of the Tempest is Raging. Just because even with all the things that Jesus' disciples saw him do, as we'll see in the song and in the passages that are related to this, they are still stunned by the power that he has. And I think we should be stunned by the power that Jesus had to stay asleep in that boat. We're going to be looking at Jesus' teachings, far too many for the time that we have together today. I think John himself, one of Jesus' apostles, said if we wrote everything down that Jesus did in word and deed, there's nothing, no book could contain all of it. And so if we have to spend a smaller amount of time, that's all right. And then the last two songs coincide with Jesus' death, talking about heaven came down, which actually relates back to his birth, but shows that full circle. And then number 376, he paid a debt. And we'll be closing off with that. So as they had on the material that they'd prepared for the song service today, we're going to be talking about the story of Jesus. We're praising him in every area of his life, his birth, his life, his miracles, his teachings, and his death for the redemptions of our sin. The first song that we're going to be looking at, and you're welcome to take your songbooks out if you need to. We will have them up here behind me, but for each one of the songs, I want to take just a moment to go through the songs and read the lyrics. But the first song that coincides with the birth of Jesus and the life of Jesus is Tell Me the Story of Jesus. So number 387, if you'd like to turn there. We're not going to scroll through the song on the board behind me, but I'll be reading that from my songbook. And our songs of faith and praise, the songs that are in the seats just in front of you if you need one. The lyrics go as follows. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that was ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings on earth. We're getting into a time of year where looking at Jesus is becoming popular again. Not because of church service or religion, but because people are reminded of the Jesus story and this Christmas part of the life that they've been accustomed to. Verse 2 says, fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past, how for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected and poor. And the last verse says, tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him, but tell how he liveth again. Love in that story was so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper. Love paid the ransom for me. So as we think back at Jesus' birth, and we think about his life in this first song, I encourage you to sing the songs that will be behind me a little bit louder if you don't mind, because my voice is just so bad today. But think about these words. Think about the words of all the songs that we're looking at today, because they tell a story. Even the Bible will tell us that, and when we're singing hymns, we're singing praises, we are teaching those around us, and sometimes teaching ourselves. So we'll be singing the song number 387, and I encourage you to all sing as we go along. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings on earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, right on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past, how for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected and poor. Tell me the story of Jesus, right on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him, Those who just joined us, we're going over today's lesson is a mixture of songs and passages and scriptures that go along with these songs and thoughts that we have to bring forward. I told the members before I began that your patience will have to be strong with me today because my voice has been missing in action. But the last song talked about almost all of Jesus' life. One of the things that we probably see around us this time of year, and maybe you've got some of these yourselves, is the nativity scene. And again, it's always a mixed thing about the world this time of year. The Christian life, the life of religion, the life of God, knowing who God is really not on the register for many people until this time of year. And suddenly, they're thinking about Jesus, they're thinking about His birth, they're thinking about the miraculous things that happened in His life. And sometimes they'll begin going back to church for a while. But the greatest thing about Jesus, besides His birth, was His legacy. His plans for Him to be born and the plans for Him to live a perfect life. As we've seen before, as in this nativity scene there, we often see that in people's yards and in their houses this time of year. In Matthew chapter 2, starting with verse 1 and it says, "Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him.'" Right off the bat, the Bible opens up with just an amazing thing, that people that are out of the story of the Israelite nation are coming to see this king that would be born. Continues on, it says, "So they said to him," and skipping down to verse 5 now because we're kind of blocking out the section there with Herod. "They said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people.'" The Old Testament, and as we see here, these men that have come to worship the Savior that would be born, following the star that was leading them there. Just an amazing thing about Jesus' birth. And so, as the Church of the New Testament, while we might not look at the birth of Jesus as anything to be celebrated, because His death is the most important thing to us, we can't not celebrate Jesus' birth because it was prophesied from even before the foundations of the world and prophesied throughout the Old Testament. So again, one of the songs that we'll be doing, number 1005, you might like to open up to there if you would like to read along with me. You're reading the verses for this song, talking about the birth of Jesus. And then we'll sing this together. In 1005, the beautiful Star of Bethlehem, verse 1, starts out and says, "O beautiful Star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadow dim, giving a light to those who long have gone, and guiding the wise men on their way unto a place where Jesus lay, beautiful Star of Bethlehem, shine on." I would encourage you all to go back to that first part of verse 1, giving a light for those who long have gone. I think you'll see Scripture talk about that. Those who have passed before Jesus came on this earth, and they still were looking forward to this day. Verse 2, "O beautiful Star, hope of light, guiding the pilgrim through the night, over the mountain till the break of dawn. And into the light of that perfect day, it will give out a lovely ray. Beautiful Star of Bethlehem, shine on. O beautiful Star, the hope of rest, for the redeemed, the good, the blessed, yonder in glory when the crown is won. For Jesus is now that star divine, brighter and brighter He will shine. Beautiful Star of Bethlehem, shine on." So this song is not about people looking up and seeing a bright star in the heavens. This song is about the Star of Bethlehem being Jesus Himself. And while it is a metaphor of the star that the shepherds saw as they approached, and the promises that they saw about seeing the king. It's the promise of the Jesus that would be born, the Jesus that was planned from the beginning. I encourage you all to sing the song, again, as I said, louder than me, just so you don't have to put up with my voice as we go through here. We've got some good kid voices today, too, so we could use those as well. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows, giving a light to those who long have gone, and guiding the wise men on their way unto a place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawns. Oh, give us a light to light the way into star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of rest for the Redeemer, good of rest. Yonder in glory when the crown is won, for Jesus is now that star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawns. Oh, give us a light to light the way into a land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Good job. Another place that is familiar with a lot of us, especially Kyle, one of our members, Kyle Jones, was able to not only help me put this together, but was able to take a visit to Israel recently, and has spent quite a bit of time earlier this year covering some of the places that he visited. And while what we're looking at on the screen behind me is just a model, it's still a model that depicts what the temple area and what the city of Jerusalem might have looked like around the time of Christ. And as the walls that are back in the background kind of stop where the model is, we know that the city of Jerusalem extended down the hillside and was very big. And so one of the things that we think about as we go back through the text of the Bible and through our songs today is the life that Jesus experienced, the places that he went. Some places are very much the same as what Kyle got to visit this year. I think one of the best stories that we often go to, and if you like the Charles Schulz characters like I do, I've got a bunch of character peanut kids that I've got dressed up in Christmas outfits from one of the episodes that Schulz did, where the kids are all out skating on the ice and they're all 4-foot plywood cutouts that I've got painted. I did when my kids were 2 and 4, so they needed some paint for a while. But Linus, often when you go on to the story of Christmas on the peanut stories, often goes back here to Luke chapter 2. And that's where we're at today. New King James reads, "His parents, talking about Jesus, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph, his mother, did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company or with the group that was traveling, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. So as a parent, I'm sure you've probably had times where your kids have disappeared on you and you didn't know where they're at. Or maybe they're just in a place that you had forgotten about. And it's very distressing. Sometimes it could almost drive you nuts. Jesus is doing that here, but we see Jesus is not just off being a bratty kid. He's not off doing something he shouldn't. We'll see what he was doing in the next reading. It says, now so it was after 3 days when they found him. And I want you to think about that. So remember, they had gone a day's journey. They realized Jesus wasn't with them. And so they made their way back. So that's one day. Apparently 2 more days they were looking for Jesus. So now it was after the 3 days that they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. One of my favorite verses is the next one. And when they went down with him and they came to Nazareth and the subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. This is not the only time that they mention this of Mary, but just the thoughtful things that she's doing. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men, as we read about in class today. So I wanted to think about that. Jesus' life, even as an adolescent, was already doing the will of his father. Not Joseph, his father, the woodsman or the craftsman, but the father that sent him to the earth to be the Savior of the world. And so we're going to be singing number 189. This is not because of Jesus' life here. This is transitioning to the next statement as we're going to. But as we be looking at Jesus' miracles, Master, the Tempest is Raging. Number 189, if you'd like to follow along, be reading in that. And in your mind, just pretend that I have a beautiful reading voice today. Again, this is one of my favorite stories, and I think the song depicts this passage so well. Master, the tempest is raging. The billows are tossing high. The sky is overshadowed with blackness. No shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep? When each moment so madly is threatening, a grave in the angry deep. This would be like one of those on the boat with him. Christ, don't you see what is going on? We're dying. Why are you laying there asleep? You can control this. Help us, please. Nobody's going to be able to do that. Verse 2. Master, with anguish of spirit, I bow in my grief today. The depths of my sad heart are troubled. Awaken and save, I pray. Torrents of sin and anguish, they sweep over my sinking soul. And I perish. I perish, dear Master. Oh, hasten and take control. In the transition after Jesus deals with the wind and the rain. Master, terror is over. The elements sweetly rest. Earth's sun and the calm lake is mirrored, and heaven's within my breast. Linger, O blessed Redeemer, leave me alone no more. And with joy I shall make the blessed harbor and rest on the blissful shore. I encourage you all to sing with me, number 189. And the main focus is the words of these songs, so please pay attention to them. And again, pay attention to the first 2 verses of a fearful crew, but the last one is an amazement of who Jesus is. Master, the tempest is raging, the billows are tossing high, the sky is o'ershadowed with blackness, no shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep? When each moment so madly Picture on there was a painting by Hilary Weeks. I pulled off the internet. Just focusing on what we just sang about. The small ship that was basically those men were afraid they were going to die at any moment. And they were so frustrated because they knew that Jesus had the power to help them, but he was sleeping. Why? Because he had the faith that God would not allow harm to come to him. Where we want to be, we want to be in the same place that he could, where all those disciples could have been sleeping at the same time saying, God's got this. But they were afraid. And we see their humanity in that. In the passage that goes along with that, when they got into the boat in Matthew 8, 23 and 27, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves. But he was asleep, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. He said to them, why are you fearful, O you little faith? And he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. So the men marveled. And again, one of my favorite statements in Scripture. Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? It's our God. In Jesus' teachings, as we have this material that we kind of collectively put together, this one here, you might recognize this picture. You've probably never been to Vietnam, and you've probably never sown rice like this gentleman is, but this picture that I've took off on Splash is what's going on. In Luke chapter 8, starting with verse 5, it says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up, with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground and sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The song we're going to be singing that bases on this song in this passage is number 643. You're welcome to turn there. Number 643. The verses of the song begin, "Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the morning, bright and fair? Are you sowing the seeds of the kingdom, brother, in the heat of the noonday's glare? Are you sowing the seeds of the kingdom, brother, in the still and solemn night? Are you sowing the seeds of the kingdom, brother, for a harvest pure and white? Are you sowing the seeds of the kingdom, brother, all along the fertile way? Are you sowing the seeds of the kingdom, brother, you must reap the last great day?" And as we get into this chorus on the song, I pray that you pay attention, reminding us that we all have a job to play here. And as the song points out, sometimes we may have forgotten because we don't read the words carefully enough. It's basically saying, are you sowing the seeds of the kingdom from the time that you wake up to the time that you go to sleep every single day, especially when you most need to? And that's what we're going to do at this time. Are you sowing the seeds of the kingdom, brother, in the morning, bright and fair? Are you sowing the seeds of the kingdom, brother, in the heat of the noonday glare? For the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done. Will your sheaves be many? Will you garner any for the gathering at the harvest? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, all along the fertile way? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, you must reap at the last great day? For the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done. Will your sheaves be many? Will you honor any for the gathering at the harvest home?
Good job. Nick, thank you for taking the song lyrics out of there in between.
This is certainly not the emblem of Jesus' death that we often see. The death of Jesus was represented by the cross that he died on. The part of Jesus' death is a reminder for the death that each one of us will face one day. And Jesus' death was the ending of sin and the beginning of eternity. That can be the truth for all of us as individuals if we are part of God's kingdom. And so as we think about that, I would encourage you to reference this image here. In Romans chapter 6:23, it says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So no matter what we do, the reward that we get for sin in this life is always death. That's all we get out of it. No matter the greatest person or the worst person or the most the people without, their ending of life will just be death. But a gift of God is eternal life. He has it in store for those that accept it. Romans chapter 10, starting verse 12, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And one thing I thought was noteworthy, I included this on there from what Kyle and Jenna had put together. A lot of people might just see that whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved, and they think that's all it takes to be part of God's kingdom. But the very next verse actually answers that. How then shall they call on him who they have not believed? Belief is important if you want to have salvation. And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? You can't believe something that you know nothing about. And we need those to be telling us about Christ. And it finally says, how shall they hear without a preacher? We all have a role to play in those places. And so I want us to be thinking about those things. And while we're talking about Jesus' death, we know that Jesus came in the word form, as we can read about it in the first chapter of John. Heaven came down. Let's turn to 517. If you'd like to follow along with my reading. And the words say, oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the needs of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling. He made all the darkness depart. Born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine. That's what we talked about today. Justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction that so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came, took of the offer of grace did he proffer. He saved me, oh, praise his dear name. Now I have a hope that will surely endure. After the passing of time, I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day, when at the cross I believed, riches eternal and blessings supernal, from his precious hand I received. And the lyrics go on, and Nick, I'm going to skip the song and go to the next section. But the lyrics continue, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. So that's one of the most important things about Jesus' life. It's actually Jesus himself coming down from heaven and being there for us. And even in this dark life that I've made of my own here on this earth, he was able to remedy that. Last thing I've got for you this morning, that we have for you this morning. Jesus the Savior did complete his course. In Mark chapter 15, starting with verse 33, it says, now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness all over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood by when they heard this said, look, he's calling for Elijah. And someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine, put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink, saying, let him alone and let us see if Elijah will come and take him down. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. We know who was on that cross. We know that way greater than Elijah was Jesus himself. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The very thing that Brad's class has talked about for so many weeks that divided the places where the holiest of holies and the holies could be was separated from even the high priest. So when the centurion, just a soldier of Rome here, so when the centurion who stood opposite to Jesus on the cross saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. I've told you before, I've always wondered if this centurion is the same one that we'll read about in Acts, not far from this depiction in Mark. And if it is, that's a great thing. But what this goes on to, the last song that I have for you this morning, Jesus' death was a memorial. It was a celebration, it was a worship, and an invitation. And the invitation is what we have at this moment. We'll sing one more song, and depending on time, this can be either leading into our worship service for the Lord's Supper, but thinking about why Jesus came here, his whole life was based on only one debt, the debt of our sins, and that's what he did. 376 will be the song I'll read. We'll sing that standing in just a moment. I'll sit down, and if you have any needs, if Jesus' life has made a difference to you, or you're ready for him to make a difference to you, I'd encourage you to look at that this moment, to come forward and to accept Jesus into your life, to be baptized into his name, to have your sins forgiven,
to be part of this church kingdom that exists and will exist forever. If you're a member of Christ and you're struggling, just as I'm dealing with this cold, maybe you've got a cold in your life, maybe you've got a sickness in your life, and no matter what you do, no matter what quote-unquote pills you take to try to get those things out of there, they just won't go. You're always broken, and you can't stop it. And it's affecting your soul. It's affecting your future. Let those things be known as we'll sing for you. But let's go through the verses of this song. Number 376. Talking about Jesus. He paid a debt that he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. He paid that debt on Calvary. He cleansed my soul and set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. And now I can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. One day, He's coming back for me to live with Him eternally. Won't it be glory to see Him on that day? I then will sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Think about the words and the thoughts that we've put together this morning as we stand and sing number 376. If you have a need at this time, please let it be known by coming forward and taking a seat on the front seat.
He paid a debt he could not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sin away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. One day He's coming back for me to live with Him eternally. Won't it be glory to see Him on that day? I then will sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay.
Please be seated. At this time, we'll turn the services over to the one doing the Lord's Supper. Thank you for your attention, and I pray that even though the delivery was a little bit less far, that the thoughts and the greatness of God and the scriptures and the songs that we sang together will help us to focus on who Jesus and God is.